You had so many heavy hitters, so many big names, such as Nico Young, Graham Blanks, Parker Ward,
Josh Kerr,
Rocky Hansen, have to mention him.
Yeah.
This really put a nail in the coffin of the debate of, as pro runners, you ask yourself, how would I do an NCAA cross? And I think the answer is clearly, we would get fucked. This was a race week. Well, this is a race week for you two. And I had a race yesterday as well.
Congratulations!
I'm terrible.
Marcus
Jones! So we all are partaking in the racing as well. But
I know Jared and I have been talking about trying to get as close as we can to the world record.
They went for the world record when the world record was really soft.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it. Now the world record's really good.
So
in my mind, you're both fucking dreaming.
So one of the craziest things, which I don't even know how to like make sense of this, was Alex Yee going and running 206.38, which is the second fastest British time ever, I believe.
Behind Mo Farah, yeah. If something happens with my visa stuff, then they're just going to replace me with like some cheap knockoff. The government is making me abandon you guys.
Find out more on the Coffee Club podcast.
Okay. Like and subscribe.
Coffee Club. Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast, episode 210. Today we have a very exciting episode as we got into, for me this weekend was, results were just coming out of everywhere. It was like a clash of cross country, roads, and the start of track, and it just was chaos. So we have a bit to cover there as well. And then actually we have some, this was a race week. Well, this is a race week for you two, and I had a race yesterday as well. So we all are partaking in the racing as well. But first off, just how we doing, boys?
Ollie, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
Leaving the country?
I feel...
Ollie's abandoning us.
Yeah, well, that's not true. The government is making me abandon you guys. I'm doing my visa. So
best of luck.
Could potentially be replaced on Coffee Club podcast, guys. Just letting you know, like if they can't... Usually that happens. If something happens with my visa stuff, then they're just going to replace me with like some cheap knockoff.
Gus is normally pretty good at taking care of the visa stuff, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's been on and off recently. Been kind of bored. I think he's starting to get lazy with it. But no, I'm feeling good.
It's going to be ICE agents like busting down the podcast door.
Yeah, just taking me away. We'd all be in trouble anyway. We're all foreigners. But yeah, I feel good. This past couple of weeks training have been fun. The teams, like particularly the men's team, has been pretty good, knocking down numbers. And excited to race in Hawaii. I'm excited to surf in Hawaii, and I'm excited to see my mum in Hawaii. So, be good times. Yeah.
So you haven't done the Mary Mar before, have you?
I have. Yeah.
Oh, you did 2 years ago.
I did it 2 years ago.
I did it last year.
Ollie did last year.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Doing my
Wife's first. But I did not run well. This year I hope to run exponentially.
Exponentially?
Exponentially better.
What's the goal for this year?
I would like to run very fast. But I would like to run...
Ollie is geared up for this race.
Yeah, I'm like pretty hyped up about it. I want to run like pretty quick. I mean, the Australian record's 3:58, unless Ansi didn't break it, did he? In the New Zealand?
I don't think that one's record eligible. But I don't think he did.
Okay. 3:58.3. I want to break that because it's a fat bonus for Ollie. Be pretty nice. And then I know Yara and I have been talking about trying to get as close as we can to the world record. But the Hawaii course is not very quick. It's like 180.
Didn't Yara go for the world record there last year? Or is that 2 years ago as well?
That was 2 years ago. He ran 3:56. And he told me that it's possible to run quicker than that, but you have to like...
They went for the world record when the world record was really soft.
Yeah.
And he didn't get it. Now the world record's really good. So in my mind, you're both fucking dreaming.
Wait, like is the world record by an Adidas person or is it by... it's the one
Giles.
That Yared paced.
It's Giles.
Eric Giles. Elliot Giles.
Is it still Giles or did they break it at Adidas?
I don't know, but they...
It's still Giles.
Giles ran, what was it, like 3:51 or something?
3:51, yeah.
I think 3:51.
So that's pretty fucking quick.
Yeah.
No one's run faster than like 3:56 in like 10 years, I think. So unless there's some, and it was Cheers, who would just be in insane fitness at random times of the year. That would have been the world record back then if that was, if it was reset then. If you guys run 350 out there, you're probably in like world record outdoor mile shape.
And who says they're not?
Exactly. Well, says they are, apparently.
So I didn't realize Elliot Giles was in world record mile shape.
I think Joey's just saying that this course
if
in particular
in Hawaii,
is really
probably
hard.
That one in Germany, they literally set that up to break the world record. That was like the only, I don't even know if that race existed until they set it up to break the world record in like August.
I heard that they're setting up the Mary Mile to break the world record this year. They're going to have a tailwind.
You guys don't
ways.
Understand. My secret weapon is to do the Japanese turn where I just spin around. And
do they have, are we having paces?
The women are our paces.
Because they had paces for the first time ever last year. Are they doing that again?
They only have paces for the women. Because the women are go ahead of us, so we use the women as paces because technically we're supposed to finish with them.
Did you guys not get a pace last year?
Apparently they don't do paces for the men. They don't do paces for the women.
Well, they didn't do paces for either until last year. That was the first time.
Either. Oh, yeah. Well, this year they're doing paces for the women again because they think that we wouldn't need the pacer because the women are ahead of us, which would make sense. We have something to gauge off, technically.
So wait, now my wires are coming together. Last year was the first year that the women won.
Ever, yeah.
Okay.
And they got gave them an extra second and they gave them a pacer and it worked. This year they've taken away a second.
Ooh.
But they get a pacer, I think.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe they get a pacer I haven't heard.
Trying to find that perfect equilibrium.
But it's not even going to be close. If these guys break the world record, they're going to be so far ahead of the woman, it's not even funny.
That's true.
They're going to be 50 meters ahead of the woman.
What, do you guys know what the fields are like for the women as well? Who are we chasing?
Nikki's doing it.
Nikki's pretty dominant.
That's about
race.
It. I briefly looked at it. Sage is racing. But, you know, Sage is going to get that smoke from me because, you know, teammate, I'd love to kick down Sage.
Fair enough.
I want to see the heat. But I think Yard's feeling pretty good. We talked about it on a few runs. And we have 2 seconds to lose. So we got to run like 3:48, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds to lose in the turn.
Cool.
Which
That's
is
a good
really,
little buffer to give yourself.
Really easy.
Yeah.
Really easy.
And so who else from the OAC is racing it?
Just me, Yard, and George, right?
I'm in a different race, apparently. This is a world record attempt over here. I'm going to Hawaii for the vibes.
Well, I just said we're going to get as close as we can to it. That doesn't mean we're going to break it.
So you've done it once. Well, maybe close your ears for this part. I don't know if this is like you don't want to give your tactics away, George, but you've raced it before, so you do have some experience now. What is your kind of mindset and tactics going into it with what you know?
World record was not on my mind. No, I was really fun last time. And it was very, I'm going to race as hard as I can, but, it's December and, training got started very late this year.
Excuses coming out already.
Exactly. And so I expect to be very far from the world record. Very, very far, but I'm going to go out there and have a lot of fun and rip down, the beach in Hawaii. And last year there were no tactics cause I was so far back. But I caught some woman last time. No, I didn't catch all of them. And hopefully something similar this time.
Would you guys say that a road mile, especially one like this, where you're just essentially grinding the whole time because you're trying to catch people in front of you, is it more painful than a track mile, do you think? Or is it just a different beast? Or is it less painful?
I think most of it is based on the fact that it is the first week of December and we haven't done a single workout that would suggest that we should run a mile in any way. I think that just makes it hard to run.
Yeah, but
anaerobic. It's fast.
But I would say the concept of always running 60-second or faster pace on a road sounds
it felt
a lot
very
harder
fast.
Than what you can, because on a track, yeah, you're right, like the training is different, but maybe if you trained all the time on a road to run fast on a road, it would become more comfortable at some point. But you guys know how comfortable 60 seconds on a track in spikes can become. I'm just not sure on a road it could ever become that comfortable. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's a good point. I remember it getting very hard after the turn last time.
Yeah.
Right after
the
turn.
The turn, that's killer. That's just like
180 degrees, big momentum, just nailer. Yeah,
just drains it. It's like any time in a race when you have like a big kind of bump or something, it kind of drains your momentum. It's just like that, just right in the middle of the race, and then you have to get back on the pace and keep going. So I don't know. I think it's always hard. But yeah, people do run quick on roads these days. It happens.
They really do.
It's always happened. But
especially, well, I guess the current road mile record is not that close to outdoors, but there's very fast 10Ks and 5Ks on the roads now.
Mm-hmm.
You must just get way more from the shoe.
Yeah, I think the shoes matters a lot more as you go up in distance on the roads. Speaking of shoes, what are you guys going to wear? That's actually a very interesting question, I think, for a mile, because it's so obvious what you would wear for the longer ones on a road race, but the shorter ones, there's an argument, I think, to wear a different shoe rather than just your standard super shoe.
I don't even know if I've decided.
I kind of wanted to do the 99s, but then Ritz was very against that. So,
really?
Yeah.
Just from a performance standpoint?
From a performance standpoint, but like I remember in the turn last year, like my shoe like came off because the stack height's so high. When you're making a sharp turn like that, my foot just went like this.
And you were in super shoes last year?
Yeah.
See, yeah, that's kind of the worry with that. Whereas like at that speed.
I feel like I'm comfortable enough in my ability and I'm fit enough that a carbon plate's not really going to matter for a mile on a road because the ground's already so hard. So
I feel like 99s would be good around the turn for sure.
But then is it good for the rest of the race? That's the question. Like, are you going to be able to get that last kick out of the last 400 meters? I know what Yara's wearing. He's wearing those Echo 4s. Like, because that's all he wears. He does not like the 99s.
Yeah, he does 200s and everything in those things.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It is, because that shoe sucks for the 200s.
No, it's going to be fun though. They put on a really cool meet. They give us lots of nights in the hotel and they give us a plus one, and it's a joy to be a part of the race.
I think it's a sick race. I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. Trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Feels quite good this year. I think Donovan's running.
Donovan is running.
No way.
Neil Gooley's running.
Nico's in it.
Nico's in it. Hobbs is in it.
Sheesh. That is a good field.
Mm.
That's a lot of like dangerous people, I would say.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see how everyone's fitness is.
Yeah.
Didn't you say last year they said in a meeting beforehand, they were like, it's okay, we all know that you're not very fit.
They
just go out there
said,
and have
like,
fun.
We know that this isn't a priority for you guys, but we really appreciate you guys being here and like competing here and making it a really fun meet. So we appreciate you guys coming. It was like more of those like very chill meetings where they're like, we know that people aren't going to be necessarily going for.
I mean, as it should be.
World records.
Because as George said, it is December.
It's December, yeah.
And it's a road mile. So far away from the main track season. And yeah, I mean, I found that really interesting looking at like the results from USA Cross, for example. It's like, I think it really does show you that for this time of year, things are so much more variable just based on where everybody's at. And then, when you factor in like it being a road mile, which is just a different thing, it's similar to the track mile, but it is still like a different thing. Just a lot more question marks, which does result, I think, in super exciting racing. So
it's going to be on YouTube.
Yeah, we got to talk about that, don't we? So I don't know how like technology's come really far. I don't know how this is possible. Shout out to to Mac and Mac Fleet, that is, and Tom. I hope it all works out smooth, but apparently it's being streamed on the Coffee Club account, the race. I don't know how many other YouTube channels. Maybe they're streaming on all the YouTube channels out there. I don't really know how this works, but it should be streamed on the Coffee Club channel. I don't know what time there's the race at. What time is it?
It'll be a great time in the US.
Like 10 p.m., 10 a.m. in the US?
Maybe a bit later. How many hours difference is it? We're at like 7 a.m. Hawaii. How many hours back is Hawaii? Must be more than three, isn't it? Or is it only three? Well, no, it probably is. New Zealand's only like four. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right.
Three, right?
It'll be like 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., depending where you are, somewhere in the US. So, maybe not great in Australia.
Tune in, Coffee Club channel.
Yeah.
Merry Mile.
Citrus like got the
also
production somethings for it. Obviously, we turned it down, like, so, and then they got it. So
there's also somebody else racing, the International Mile.
What's the International Mile?
Like the mile beforehand. What's it called? What's that mile called? Some name for it?
I think it's just like the community mile.
Community mile.
Is it your mom?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
My mom's racing the mile beforehand.
Nice.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I think there's actually gonna be a decent battle for the community title this year, because I know, shout out Caleb Easton is the defending champ of the community mile, whose girlfriend is in the pro mile, and I think he's going to have some stiff competition this year.
Kate from Kate the Great, yeah.
From well, yeah, from Kate.
My mom's going to smoke it.
I don't know what it takes to win the community mile, but
probably a lot this year.
Probably like a 3:56, I would say.
Probably pretty close to world record.
Yeah, close to world record place. I mean, you could say anything's close to world record place if you just, depending on how you feel about it, it's all relative.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be awesome. And yeah, very excited to check that one out. And it'll just be a lot of fun. Good way to spend your, get away from the cold this
get some surfing.
Yeah. And then Ollie will be, as he kind of mentioned, he'll be head on to Australia after that for a few weeks. So we won't see him here for a little bit, but then he'll be back here. So
that's correct.
Just be gone for a little bit. But yeah, best of luck in that, boys. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be fun. How was your road racing?
Yeah. So
a sneaky mention of that at the start of the podcast.
So I competed before the podcast. I told the boys what time I ran a half marathon yesterday. And that time was 5 a.m. Eastern time, which we're in mountain time here. So for those who don't know, that's a 2-hour time difference. So 3 a.m. yesterday, essentially, I competed in the Cayman Islands half marathon. Sickest race ever. It was so good. I have to give a big shout out to the folks over at Palm Heights for looking after Cinta and I and while we were there and being able to compete in this race, which I...
Did you know it was on?
What do you mean?
Before you went.
That's they looked at they
that is why you went.
That's why we went.
I wasn't sure if that was
just a coincidence.
What coincidence or not?
Just happened to be running at 5 a.m. in the morning. He's like, oh, that's a race. Let's do it. But it was all planned. They looked after us to come out and do that race. So huge shout out to them. Honestly, just to take a second, like it's so beautiful there, and like the hotel they have there, like the training facility is just like, it was the nicest thing ever. Like it was pretty much like you're at both simultaneously a Caribbean exotic holiday and a humidity training camp. Like they had I'll show you guys some videos later. Like they're set up there, their gym, like their spa, like they have they have all these pools, like contrast pools, all the recovery stuff. They have 6 woodways in their gym inside.
Is that like a big running culture in Cayman Islands?
It's just...
Or people going to train there?
No, they just have this crazy nice like athletic club. Like,
yeah.
That I'll show you. It has like an inside gym, an outside gym, a turf. It's amazing. They have a boxing ring there. That's like what the gym is like outside. So it's like the most amazing thing ever. And it's just such beautiful weather there. I don't know if Hawaii is this exact same climate. Maybe it is. But every day there, if you look at the weather, it's between 27 to 29 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, I think Hawaii only changes temperature by like 2 or 3 degrees day or night.
And the water there is so nice. Like at least this part of the Caribbean, it's pretty much no waves. It's just like this crystal clear, like blue water. It's just like very warm. It was just amazing. And I mean, it was a cool thing to be able to just be there. Because Cinta and I are probably just going to be, there's a couple things. One, we don't plan on traveling at all for the rest of the year, like through the Christmas period, which is obviously when a lot of people would travel and get away. So because I'm going to be racing the World Cross in January, it will be hard to travel like right before that. So it was like, well, let's try to do a little getaway earlier on so then I can lock in for the next 5 weeks because the race is 5 weeks away now. And then also we had, so both of us made bingo cards at the start of this year with goals for the year, and we've both failed tremendously on them mostly because a lot of the goals were related to running, and we've both had big injuries this year. But one of them was to go on a cool holiday, essentially. And with the way that things have played out this year, we haven't done that. So this was kind of ticking that box as well. So it was really sweet. And the race itself, it was so sick, just because I think, okay, so it's the flattest race ever. The island is completely flat and you just run out for 6.5 miles. And
was it light?
The whole thing is in the dark because, yeah, you start at 5 a.m. The marathon starts at 4:30 and it probably gets light close to 7. I would say 6:45 maybe gets light. So finished in the complete darkness, and the vibe was crazy because I just had like a motorbike pacing me just the entire way. Like not literally pacing me, but like, cause I was at the front. It's just like, you have the motorbike going through, but you run into all the marathon people as well. and the race actually like comes back on itself on the same road. So there's kind of a lot happening, and they have water stations, not every mile, but almost every mile. So there's a lot of activity, even though it's so early in the morning. There's a lot of excitement and activity, and I don't know if I would say you could run fast there, because at 5 a.m. in the morning, it was 27 or 28 degrees and it was like 80% humidity. Like the humidity was the worst thing. It was pretty...
Doesn't sound
pretty
ideal.
Killer. But I didn't break the course record because...
Which was what?
So I think it was about a minute faster than me. So 67:30. Chris Thompson on...
Yeah.
Running athlete. I think he retired last year. Two-time British Olympian marathoner. He has both the records in the half and the full.
Why is he running a marathon there?
Why not?
Same reason, I guess.
Why not? It's,
that's, I mean, hilarious.
It's a cool thing to do. Like, it's so fun to like go and...
What
like,
was the marathon one in?
I actually don't know. Like probably not under 3 hours.
Really?
It's really hard. It's, the marathon is a really small field. The half, like most people do the half marathon, and then they also have, it's really cool, they have like a relay, like a 4-person marathon relay. So everyone runs just a bit over 10K, which is, it's a
cool,
fun thing to do. But yeah, I did not envy the people at all running the marathon, because I think the humidity is like the amount of, that you sweat and the amount of fluids that you lose. Like even in the half, I was feeling it a lot, which, I mean, a half, that's not surprising. A half is the, when I went into it, I forgot how far a half marathon was. In my head, it was like, all right, you're doing like an 8 or 10 mile tempo. And then it's like it just kept going on. And it's like, okay, yeah, 13 miles is actually pretty far. And also I didn't really plan on running that fast, but I got a bit carried away. I ran 68:30 for anyone who's wondering, which is like 5:10s. And I was going to just do it a bit easier, but then just the excitement of all, just like, I didn't check my watch at all. I just got carried away. And then,
well, it's probably in the dark. It's probably kind of hard to tell.
Yeah. You feel, you know how you feel? You feel really good running fast in the dark sometimes. And the road, like, I can't, like,
it was perfectly smooth.
It was perfectly smooth, perfectly flat. I had like this motorbike, like, I don't know, 30 meters in front of me the whole time that I was just like locked in on. I had my music playing. That was a weird thing. I was listening to music during the race, which I was.
That
like,
sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, it was.
If you're just out there on your own,
were you carrying your phone? How are you playing, listening to music?
I have music on my watch.
Oh really?
Yeah. 2025.
Welcome. Wait, so how does that work with playlists and stuff? Though, do you just download a playlist the night before, or?
Well, I did it like 6 months ago, not the night before.
What if you found like new music? They're like, oh, I love this song. I want this to be on my.
Well, you can add more stuff.
So the way it works, if you, I guess it depends what app you use, but on the watch that I have, if you have Spotify connected, you choose which playlist to download onto your watch, and then you have music on your watch. Or you could do podcasts. You could listen to the Coffee Club. I'm sure some of our listeners do that. Actually, they probably have Coffee Club saved onto their watch. And one of the playlists that I have, I was just listening to my on repeat. And what's cool about that is it automatically updates itself. So if I'm connected to Wi-Fi on like with my watch and my phone, my on repeat will like update to whatever is actually like currently on that playlist. So it does kind of update itself.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Technology. Wow.
I should probably start doing that instead of just running with my phone all the time.
Yeah, it's nice. It's really nice.
So you can do that for like doubles and stuff. You can put your AirPods in and
exactly.
I'm amazed
you didn't know about this.
No, well, I just thought it was, I didn't think the technology was there, because when I did it like a long time ago, I was using the Apple Watch and it was very finicky trying to get.
It's a little janky still. It's not the smoothest. Do you do it, George?
I do not.
It's a little janky, but it does work. And it is really nice to not have to be able to listen to music and just have it directly coming from your watch. So yeah, it was a great race. I was like pretty cooked after it. Not going to lie. Just like I don't know how much I sweat the race, but I was so
probably
wet.
Some crazy.
Were
numbers.
You using the water stations? Were you getting your fluids?
I was not drinking from them because it was too hard to drink. I don't know how to, I guess if you have the bottle, the bottles that are made for drinking, but it was like literally a situation where I was like grabbing like those paper cups from people. And the first one I grabbed, so this was my nutrition strategy. I took a gel before that had 40 grams of carbs, and then I had two more of those during the race, and I also had a smaller one, a 25-gram carb gel, which I didn't take because my stomach felt too bad. And it just made me think about Joe taking 170 grams. And I guess he uses bottles, though, which I think that makes a big difference. Trying to take that many carbs, running that pace, like insane, not stopping, so painful. I think the heat and humidity makes it a lot harder for your stomach to process those carbs. But I felt really sick because of the gel. So the first cup that I grabbed was Gatorade, and that was such a big mistake because I tried to drink and it just went all over my face. Like, I couldn't really get
it's covered in sticky Gatorade.
Yeah, so then
it's 80 degrees.
So then I probably, and I didn't grab a cup until the second half of the race. So then I probably hit three more stations on the second half of the race, but all of them I was just grabbing water and just throwing it on myself. I didn't actually try and drink any of it because it was too hard. Like, it was actually too hard. But yeah. It was awesome. It was a crazy experience finishing your race. I guess I had this at Houston last year. I think I even talked about this at Houston, but finishing your race and it's like 6:30 in the morning and you're like, geez, what do I do now? So
any coffee club fans in the Cayman Islands?
Yeah. Yeah. So after the race, shout out to George, was his name, came up to me.
What, probably British, a great guy.
Awesome dude. British guy. He came up after it and he said to me, he said, yeah, my friend sent me a thing that you were racing, but I didn't believe it was you. And now here you are. So it was so funny.
Nice.
So I got to meet him. But yeah, dude, I think it was actually a pretty easy travel to get there. So I flew through Houston about two and a half hour flights. And especially from certain parts of America, I think it's really easy to forget or just not know how close and amazing the Caribbean is. If you're gone from New York, that's 1 4.5-hour flight. And, you know, from Denver to, I'm speaking about the Cayman Islands specifically because I was just there, but this goes for all of the Caribbean, obviously. It's like there's direct flights and it's like 4.5 hours to get there. Mm-hmm. And it's a fucking paradise there.
I remember flying from Miami to St. Martin and it was like super easy.
It's like a paradise.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's amazing. And actually, I think probably some of the places around there are really not good for training, but here, as long as you can withstand the heat and humidity, which is always going to be a big factor, because
in the Cayman Islands, it's like good training. Yeah.
Yeah. But the actual way you could run was actually amazing. They had this little, like, near where we were staying, there was this kind of like, I don't think it was like a national park thing, but it was this place where there was like, it was like mangroves and it was like a sand dirt road that was probably like a 4 mile loop, just flat. And it was, there was, ATVs would go out on it, but there was barely any of them. So, like, no cars. And you could grind out there. If you were trying to do heat humidity training, you could grind out there.
Maybe we should mention that for OAC because I would love to go to the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
Like, instead of Scottsdale, we go to the Cayman Islands and do a fucking training there. It'd be sick.
Yeah. The only thing is, unfortunately, the Cayman Islands specifically is like the most expensive, like,
part of the Caribbean.
Yeah. It's, dude. They don't have any, like, maybe speak to Gus about this. They have no taxes there. They have no
Cayman Islands?
They have no income tax.
You don't say.
They have no income
tax. I've always wondered why everyone based there.
Why all these financial groups are based there? They have no taxes.
I thought they just like the beaches.
I don't know how it works, guys, but it's pretty crazy there. It's really wild. People there are pretty rich, I came to figure out. We were walking down the beach. And there was this construction. There's a lot of construction. Like, clearly, the luxury part of society is doing well right now, I would say. They were building all these developments right on, like, the main kind of famous beach there, 7 Mile Beach. And just casually, like, opened the phone to look at one of them. And this is, like, a construction that's, like, not, it looks like 20% done. So it's, like, not, you can't see anything. But then they have the renders of the condos that they're putting up. And the cheapest one was $10 million. I'm like, Jesus. Some people are doing very well. Whoever's buying down there, they do very well for themselves.
Just put 0.01% down and then pay I don't even know if 300% interest.
I don't know if I can afford that even, but yeah. So we should go in a training camp there. But they have, like, this time of year is their peak season, as you would, I guess, expect. This is when the weather's really nice for the next 4 months, and then it's rainy season. So I guess it's probably not ideal to be there during the rainy season. But yeah, it was cool. It was a half marathon. You know what it made me think, actually? I was like, I feel like in the training for the half marathon that I did a year ago, it would have been cool to almost run a couple of half marathons in that range. Just, I think, like, to get your body used to the stress of that, because I feel like after the half marathon last, or I guess the start of this year, that was the most fucked I think my body's ever been. But after this one, I mean, I ran quite a bit slower, but I think like that would make a big difference in just like, you know,
just do a couple of easy ones.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was a really fun thing to do. So we should do some half marathons together.
I'm down.
Just go do them as tempo runs.
I'm down. If it can get me to the beach, I am there.
We just end up doing the whole like Caribbean road running circuit.
I'm surprised they don't have a mile there.
They should.
Because the a mile in Hawaii is basically an addition to the Honolulu Marathon.
Well, maybe,
which is the next day, which also starts in the dark.
Yeah, true. Well, this is the future, you know. This race was a certified, I don't know how this shit works actually, by Abbott, the World Marathon people, but it's not like, because the Honolulu is an A category, I believe, right? Like the one below, it's the one below.
The marathon?
Maybe they don't do A, maybe the silver, gold. I think the marathon is actually really high quality certification at, it's obviously not a major, but it's like one or two below
one
that.
One of the, yeah, top.
Whereas
ones.
This one was like another level below that maybe, but you know.
They get an elite field for the Honolulu one.
Yeah. So it's cool. So cool. I mean, it's just a fun thing to be able to actually go. That was the other thing, is like to go and do a race that was like, this is how you guys feel as well. Well, Ollie's put some pressure on himself because he's going to go break the record, but to go do races where it's actually like, this is fun.
I want to see how well I can do, all right?
As you should. Go for it.
And Yared is with me. We want to go out guns blazing.
Are you going to sit on Yared, do you think? Or is
well,
Yared's
like,
on you,
oh, you're
going to
sit
side
on me. And I'm like, well, I was just going to go. And he was like,
so he's going to sit on you.
Well, then. I was going to go. And I'm like, well, why don't we just go together and see how well we can do.
Wow.
That would be really sick if you guys actually did run it side by side and we're just like pushing
well,
each other.
One person will have an advantage if you're in side by side.
Why is that?
The turn.
That's true. You got to fight for that inside line.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, didn't Yared take that turn really wide last year anyway?
Did he run last year?
2 years ago, sorry.
No, he didn't run last year. It was just me last year.
So why didn't you do this last year?
I did do it last year.
This plan though.
Oh, because I was super unfit.
Oh.
Like, I'm pretty fit right now. So I was like, well, why don't I just go and have a shot? You know?
No, it's awesome.
I'm in very, very good shape. For this point of the year, I'm in very, very good shape. So I would like to see where I'm at.
Well, yeah. No, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a good way to spend our Decembers as pro runners before, yeah, January things just start heating up for the rest of the year. But yeah, the Cayman Islands Marathon, Palm Heights, highly recommend to anyone that is out there because it was amazing. So yeah, but that wasn't the biggest race that happened this weekend, unfortunately.
No,
wasn't even, well, you know, on Sunday there was some other big races. There was some big marathons around the world. There was the final of the F1.
Yep, Lando Norris.
Busy weekend.
Shout out to him for winning. It was pretty sick the way that all played out.
Where did Oscar finish? Third?
Second in the race or in the world?
In the world championship, third, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. It was actually sick the way it played out. You guys know me. I wanted Max Verstappen to win.
Wanted?
Yes, 100%. Just the way that the year played out. And you guys know, I have a soft spot for...
For the bad guy.
For the bad... Like, back when everyone hated Valtteri Bottas, I was on Team Bottas. And I think Max Verstappen is having a similar shift where people definitely... Like, if you poll his popularity, it was probably an all-time low, maybe a year or 2 years ago when he was untouchable. Definitely this year, I would... Imagine has made a lot of people like bigger fans of him. There's a lot of people who are gonna.
Well, why bigger fans of him?
Because he's not winning all the time.
I think. Because he's actually had to overcome some adversity. Yeah. Just
well, has he overcome that adversity or is he complaining
big
a lot?
Time.
Okay.
Well, they all complain a lot.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why like sometimes the F1 drivers kind of annoy me a little bit.
Well,
Bottas coming back next year too.
The team
so exciting.
Gonna be sick. Did the adversity that he overcame was he was down by over 100 points at one point this year. In a far, far inferior car. And then it was 3 points or 2 points in the end. Like, it was crazy what he did. The fact that it was even a question. Like, because McLaren just had such a better
vehicle.
car consistently throughout the year.
That's the one thing about F1 that annoys me a little bit. Like, the driver gets all his accolades, millions of dollars, fame. What does the car get? It doesn't even get a good fucking tech petrol. It's got to drive around a fucking track all the time. It should take it out to the country. It should give it a nice little drive, you know, out in Italy somewhere. Give it a nice premium gas. Like, look after that car. It's a world champion. The car did most of the work.
They probably do.
I was going to say, if you go to any of the factories, I think they do look after the cars pretty well. They have them as like statues. Like, or like the.
So they get retired.
They get retired. They get killed. They have them there. 100%. And this, they're like, this is like the 2005.
It's like the race. It's like the racehorses. When the racehorses have a bad leg, they just shoot them.
Yeah, except these cars live forever.
Yeah. They just don't get to drive anymore.
Yeah. They get to have a happy retirement in the factory.
Did you see Jimmy trying to do his classic? Lower the tape.
Wait, Jimmy raced?
Dude, there was.
What did he do?
I think there were like 250 races this weekend.
Jeez.
And okay. Jimmy won this race.
Jimmy won the USATF cross country championships.
He was in that.
Yeah,
no
dude.
Way.
And he took out Ethan Strand and just fucking.
His signature is asking the people holding the tape to lower it so he can steeple it.
How did it play out?
They didn't understand him. And he was pissed. So he just ran through the line. But he did, like, the last 200 meters, he's like, yell at, like, I don't know if he's yelling or if he's like, he's just so far ahead.
Was it a cross country race?
That road race on those cobbled streets in Geneva. The one Jonas did.
Oh, yeah.
Looked kind of sick.
Cool.
And then he didn't get to steeple it. So that was on this weekend.
Did Jonas run that?
He did. I don't know. He was in the top 5 or 6, I think.
Oh, nice. Good for him.
But Jimmy is.
He's doing well cross, I believe.
Jonas or Jimmy?
Jimmy.
I think Jimmy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Jonas might be doing Eurocross maybe. Isn't that crazy that Eurocross? Wait, when is Eurocross?
I think it's next week.
Yeah, it must be now. Far out.
It's in Portugal. Mario said the course is really shitty. I don't know what that means.
It's in Portugal, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If it's near Lisbon, it'd be sick.
Still go.
This is the one thing about being European, man. You got all these fucking championships that are sick.
And actually just have to cool, sit it out. Accessible, like cross country / road races this time of year.
We just have to sit it out and just.
Does that mean Jakob is racing?
No, he pulled out.
He did pull out.
For any like specific reason or he just wasn't
He said
ready?
That he didn't want to miss the Coffee Club podcast this week. So he was like, if it's between Coffee Club and European cross, it's an obvious, easy answer. Mm. No, I heard speculation. That he got his tonsils removed or he had some tonsil thing. So he was like covering from that. Speculation.
I don't know whether Ollie made this up or not, but it's possible.
It was in the Norwegian news or something that came up in some sort of rabbit hole on Instagram.
I wonder if he had tonsillitis. Mm. Oh, let's send him our best wishes.
He needs to eat a little ice cream.
Dude, that's
or he just, hopefully he just came to his senses and realized that was a dumb idea.
What, on his cross?
On his recovering Achilles.
No, I hope that he does every race possible and that his Achilles are just strong enough to win.
Well, that too. But from what it seems like, he has all these custom shoes that he has to wear. Like
really?
So
damn.
Running on, I assume, like some muddy, turny cross-country course seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, but he'd be at the front, so maybe he wouldn't have to deal with the mud.
They'll roll out
potentially
a, like, carpet for him
to
race
depending.
On. But speaking of cross, USA cross, probably the sickest USA cross that has happened in my living memory, which doesn't actually extend that far back when it comes to specifically USA cross, I will admit. However, we spoke about this last week, the fact that World Cross is here in America. We expected the fields to be really good. They had trials for the 10K, the 2K. It was happening in Portland on this very difficult course, I would imagine. Looks like it's actually got hills in it and stuff and mud. However, the conditions actually were not as bad as they could be. It seemed much more runnable than it has in previous years. But nonetheless, the races were absolutely amazing across the board. And yeah, with teams on the line, there's always these big stakes. I think we can just maybe start off with the men's 10K because that was such a crazy race. We had all this hype going into it because you had so many heavy hitters, so many big names such as Nico Young, Graham Blanks, Parker Ward,
Josh Kerr,
Rocky Hansen, have to mention him now. Coming off
Ethan
his second
Strand.
At NCAA.
Oh, Ethan Strand in the 2K.
In the 2K. Yeah. You had all the guys from Flagstaff, from
Mark Smith Collective.
Yeah, but also all the Hoka guys as well.
Going
racing as well. And so it's just this clash of heavy hitters, which you don't see it too often. Like maybe you see it at literally like USA champs in the 5K or the 10K. And now this was a USA champs on the cross course. And it's such an exciting way because, you know, it's just a freaking race.
It was definitely stacked because Worlds being in the US is definitely up the interest from the locals.
And there were some people missing, but honestly, I think you look at that race and you say, I don't know how different like it could have possibly played out because the guys, well, so we have to say Rocky Hanton coming off NCAA Cross, one of the best runners. I think this really put a nail in the coffin of the debate of, we haven't spoken about it as much recently, but every year there's like, as pro runners, you ask yourself, how would I do an NCAA Cross? And I think we've seen NCAA Cross has gotten more and more crazy every year. I think at this point, it's the answer is clearly we would get fucked, even the best. Because this was literally what was on show here. You had a couple guys who were coming off the best seasons that some Americans, or not the best, but some of the top seasons that Americans have ever had, running 12:45 in the 5K.
See, that's why I think they struggled, though.
I think that
is actually the reason they didn't do well, is because they just came off that season. The guys that ran Worlds ran worse than the guys that didn't run Worlds.
Worlds was late in the year and all that, but I could be of the mind of just like...
Not taking anything away from Rocky. Dude's a badass. He said, I don't give a fuck who these people are, taken out from first 400 meters.
Yeah.
Tried to just drop everyone in the race.
I think it does just show that cross country is a different beast, because the thing is, going into the race, I think there was the argument like, yeah, you need cross country specificity. But on the flip side, I think I could have understood the argument for like guys like Nico and Graham. It's like their fitness is just so high. Like, how can they not? How can someone drop them when they're that fit? And it's like, you don't lose that fitness. Like, you know, we've seen that they've been training. You know,
sure,
they've been training for this. Like their fitness is so high, but then there must just be these other things that are more specific to cross country, which, yeah, I guess matter even more.
Mm, big balls.
Big balls.
That matters.
Giant balls for Rocky.
But I would say he was probably trying to peak 2 weeks ago, being still big cross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those other guys maybe weren't, which doesn't make them...
But even then, you compare them to... So Parker Wolf ended up winning. Like, crazy. We should just little... The race, the way that it played out, Rocky took it out in around 2:45 for the first K, and he ran the second K not that much slower, and then they slowed down to more closer to 3 minutes. But, like, that is so fast, like, on this cross-country course. Like, on a course that's, like, a bit softer like this one, like, that's so fast. And it just instantly, like, the field was, like, broken apart pretty much, and it was so exciting to watch. And... I mean, people just couldn't go with him, like, except for like a few. It was like so strung out the whole way. And I think it was so impressive to see. Parker looked really good though. So Parker ended up winning at the end. He could pull away. Even him, I mean, he had a year of you know, some injuries and stuff, so he didn't get to like do the full track season. And I think, yeah, I agree with you that probably does pay off in the end. But then it's like, I don't imagine his training has been like Parker specifically. It's not like he's come off a... His training has probably not been different from it, like the other Flagstaff guys necessarily. He's just, I think it was a reminder of how fucking good Parker Wolf is, which with the years that everyone else had last year, maybe that was put into the back of the mind a bit more because he was injured, but he's just that good. And I think on the track, he's going to show like the same level of goodness, I would say. And then,
same level of goodness.
And then you had Wesley Kiptoo and Ahmed coming through for third and fourth, which I think maybe would have surprised some people, but it's like, these guys are fucking beasts, man.
Didn't Kiptoo just run New York Marathon?
Pretty sure he did. Fucking crazy, man.
That was a crazy turnaround.
So these guys are just beasts, and I think it's not like they were probably training that's like Kiptoo wasn't training for this either, I guess. I don't know, but maybe that style of training for the...
I think some really good guys made the team. I think they're going to run.
Oh, they're going to be so good.
Not as good as the Australian team, but they'll do well.
Probably not. I mean, that's pretty hard to do, but dude, I think...
Hey, you have to race all these guys.
I know. I'm like, it's a crazy US team. The fact that Nico and Graham were fifth and sixth in
that,
the race.
That part is pretty crazy. It's 12:45 guys.
12:45 guys. Like, I agree with you that, like, yeah, I think that maybe the better that you get at running 12:45 does take you away from being good at 10K cross. I kind of agree with that, just because I think like you're essentially you're like your max output for 12 to 13 minutes on a track, I think that is like a different skill to a 10K cross. But I just expected their fit, their base fitness to be so high that it wouldn't have mattered in the end. But yeah, it's a different beast. And
I think Tallahassee, the ground has to be harder, right? Isn't that
way harder?
I've never run there.
Way harder.
But that
apparently
has to.
I think it's way more similar to a track race.
Has to benefit the track guys more than that NXN course.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty. I think yes, but also I think it's pretty scary because based on the NCAA championships that have happened at that Tallahassee course, they got in like 240. Like
it's and yeah, it's going to be so fast.
It's going to be a absolutely mental race, and yeah, I'm really happy that so many good guys showed up and did the race. And again, it was one of those races where it seemed like a good, just fun race. And it's like there are a lot of guys who probably didn't race there as well there as they would have liked to, but it doesn't probably change their confidence in themselves going into the track season at all. You know what I mean? It's just
hopefully it doesn't.
Yeah, it's just like a different beast. And the
was not that much slower through 2K than the actual 2K apparently.
Really? Like,
they went through in like 5:30 something and the 2K was like 5:20 something.
Yeah. Wow. That just shows how crazy it is.
What we did expect, or who we did expect to win, and Ethan Strand got the dub pretty convincingly.
Yeah, he looks real good.
He did.
I mean, Wes Porter, second place, looks really good as well.
Yeah, he looks pumped.
That looked like
that's huge to make that team.
Yeah.
He had a kind of breakthrough last summer. He ran some really good miles. He trains with Gary, I think. He was on UVA. I guess he doesn't anymore, but he was really good training with Gary last year at UVA. Now he's on, looked like UA. I don't know. That's why I didn't know who it was for ages, actually. It's like, who's this new? I think Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay, sorry.
So that was cool.
Yeah, that was.
I thought that was going to be more bunched, honestly. More strung out than
kicked,
I thought.
I think they kicked down real hard in that race. Yeah. Like when Ethan made his big move and stuff.
Those two little kickers at the end look quite hard really in the last 400 meters.
Yeah. So, and then on the women's side for the 2K, we'll do first. Sage making it through. That was pretty close. I didn't actually watch it, but I saw the times.
Yes.
That was
got quite stressful at the end. They had a huge gap. And at the beginning, I was like, I mean, Sage is really fit, but also 2K is pretty long for her. And so she made like a big move to go with Gracie, who won fifth there, won.
She had an amazing track season.
She did. And was looking pretty dominant and went with her. And then I think after those kickers, I think 2K got really long for Sage, but she held on.
Yeah.
And if it was like 2001 meters, might have been a different result. But this, honestly, it's kind of cool to see because a couple of years ago, Sage was not making teams by like 0.2 of a second and like coming fourth. So she knows how it feels to be on that side of the results. So to be making teams. Yeah, be making teams by 0.1 or 0.2 of a second. She's kind of earned that that spot.
Yeah. So sweet, sweet race. And then the women's 10K was, I would say, compared to the men's 10K, well, I don't even know if you can say this, but it seemed a little more like straightforward in terms of like predictions. I mean, Wayne getting the win, I think, was kind of what people expected. But then even so, like, this was a race where there was a lot of, it was really deep. And there was a lot of really good people who weren't ending up in that top six, you know? So it was, again, like, it just showed that I think 10K cross is a different beast to just a 5K on the track or whatever it is that you're using as your barrier to compare things. But yeah, I didn't watch it, but I mean, the results were pretty, like, it seemed like a pretty crazy race and a lot of very good, like this team that USA is sending on this side is going to be really, really good as well. So I think USA on both sides will be aiming to get a medal. I mean, they have to beat Australia, yes. Going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Has Australia announced their team yet?
On the 9th of December, and this is recorded at the when this is recorded.
We're on the 8th right now.
So
we can make an announcement then.
Yeah, we probably can, right? Yeah.
Unless they change the rules before that. No, we can.
Yeah, I'm in the relay.
Yeah, not to make it about ourselves. Yeah, but Ollie is also going to World
I'm
Cross.
I'm going to World Cross. I've been selected in the relay. So my first text to Sage after the race was, time for that smoke.
because I would love to race against the US. This team will be, I think the last time in Bathurst, the US team was good, but they weren't nowhere near as good as this team.
They didn't have a trial last time.
No, they just had selection, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this time, like, it looks pretty good. But let's just say, from what I know about our team's also pretty good. So
I wonder if it will be mixed gender, like, for the legs again.
So did they do that for the previous year? Because in Bathurst, they didn't do that. You had to race the leg of your gender. Because they went male, female, male, female. So one female, one male got the extra section where, like, there's like,
so
a
it could
start
happen
and
like
finish
that again.
Is a bit extra than 2K. And then the two middle legs are 2K.
That seems more likely that that would happen again.
Yeah, did you guys see, I think even on the mixed relays that they have on the track, like the 4x4, I think they're getting rid of...
They did, yeah.
You can't like pick your when you have the males and females, like it's like set now. Mm. So,
but they might set it the opposite way where they do female, male, female, male. But it depends on, I don't know, where was it last year? Croatia?
Serbia.
Serbia. So I don't know what they did with Serbia for the mixed relay, but for Bathurst, they did male,
don't
know, female,
I don't even
male,
remember
female.
The relay there.
Dude, neither. I don't know if, like...
Did they even have it?
Yeah, that was like a really sad World Cross because it went real under the radar because I think it was meant to be hosted, I think.
Croatia, and then they...
Wasn't it even Italy at one point? I don't know.
I think it was Croatia, and then they didn't have the... They like weren't ready, and then it went back to Serbia. I hope this
I
one
think
gets.
It was meant to be crazy. Yeah, you're right, dude. I think it was meant to be in somewhere really like Dubrovnik.
Like Dubrovnik, yeah,
like Game of Thrones town.
And then they bailed.
Yeah.
So hopefully this one.
Let's
is
see.
A lot
hopefully
US, and
the US doesn't like World Road Running last year. It doesn't fall
pull out at the last second.
Yeah, but
that would be really sad.
No, I think it's going to be really good this year for lots of reasons. I think like being on January 10th. I could be wrong, but I don't think like there's going to be that much other stuff happening around that time. So
when's
be
Super Bowl?
A month later.
All right, so we're good. We're good because we don't want to compete. Bowl. We don't want to compete with the Super Bowl, right, George?
Yeah, because then like no one would watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and so that would be really bad for the NFL.
It'd be bad for the economy. So, yeah, an awesome USA Cross. I hope they got people excited for World Cross in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So
go excited for me to beat the US in the relay. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That really will be fun to watch.
I think all the team stuff is going to be... I mean, it's so competitive, all the team stuff at World Cross.
Kenya's going to bring in like four athletes that are all like insanely like good. So I imagine Kenya's going to be the team to beat. Ethiopia will have probably a pretty good team.
Uganda, maybe.
Uganda. They didn't have one in... This is the problem. Like Europe, the thing is, the European...
They're like, the big letdown.
They're the ones that could actually have really fucking good teams, but they won't like send them. Do you know what I mean? Because they would just do Europeans. It's like more priority. It seems like, unless
definitely.
I'm wrong. But.
No, they like, I think with the World Cross not being in Europe, they're such pansies about it. generally speaking. Like,
they are.
Falcon was saying Germany's not even sending a team. It's I don't know if that's actually true, but like that's...
Florida's not even that far either.
It's so sad if that's true. Yeah, it's like,
East Coast?
Guys, this is World Cross. Like, you guys try and do all this shit for like European Cross. It's like...
You know what they should do? Is World Cross every year for cross country?
It's two. It's meant to be two, but things have been a bit
weird. What they should do is they should get rid of European Cross when World Cross is... No, seriously, because then that would force the Europeans to be like, all right, we're prioritizing World Cross.
I don't even know if it would. I think they just still wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, though.
You know what I mean? Because then they can like prioritize it and it'd be a real World Cross. Like, they'd have like the real top dogs, you know?
But, well, they do have the real top dogs. I don't think, no offense to the Europeans, I think a lot of the best people from the continent of Africa are still there at World Cross.
Have you not seen Jimmy G hurdle and eat a crepe?
Exactly, and he's doing it, and he's the best 10K runner in the world, apparently.
He's doing it, so yeah.
What do you mean apparently? He won Worlds.
Exactly.
So,
that was the apparent. He's So, best of Europe's there.
So that's all we need, I guess.
Well, all we need is
technically Jimmy. The best of Europe isn't there, because Robert Farkin, I don't know if he's running, but...
True.
You know.
True.
I'd love to see him in the relay. Oh.
That would be funny, actually.
I mean, dude.
They could put together a pretty good team.
I think every country could, honestly. Like, a 4x2K really is especially being mixed, is not that hard for a country to put together. You just have to...
They just need to make the prize money like $100,000.
Yeah. You need to find... I think...
I actually don't think that would do it.
But our sport would be better if there was a way to prioritize more good international competition, like undoubtedly. You know what I mean? If you can incentivize it correctly.
Money.
I'm always, you know me, I'm always so influenced by what I'm into at that very point in time in the universe. Weirdly, what I'm into right now is international test cricket with the Ashes going on.
Well, yeah, not that weird.
Not that weird.
I was gonna say, it's not that weird, but also like it's been more of not really a test cricket, but more of a slaughter. But
so far, which has been, that's maybe why I'm into it.
Yeah, it's been an absolute slaughter.
But being from a country like Australia or New Zealand, I think you could make an argument that, well, I guess New Zealand, it'd be obviously rugby, but it's like cricket is just such a constant because it's so easy to like follow like your country, you know what I mean? Like you're always going to be cheering for them. Like the way the sport is set up where they have all these like historic matches against each other.
And it's like, and
yeah.
As well. Yeah.
And it's like you, obviously they all play some form of non-international cricket as well. Well, maybe I don't actually really know how it works. Like,
but 2020 and stuff like that.
Yeah,
stuff.
there's the Big Bash, and then there's the Indian Premier League, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm. They have the Indian series.
But just the fact that like tech, like as a fan of it, you can just follow the international games, and it's so cool. And these people clearly they must get paid a lot by the country to be a part of the squad. I don't actually. Do you know how it works financially?
You make a shitload if you go to India.
Yeah.
And probably, I don't know what Big Bash pay is like, but people make a few mil for 6 weeks in India.
Yeah. But
those contracts.
But
crazy.
Let's say hypothetically, you only played international.
You'd still make really good money. I think
the countries must look after their people pretty well.
I think Cricket Australia must.
Because they got crazy sponsors.
Would pay you really well.
I think like Michael Clark was like the highest paid Australian athlete.
I'm pretty sure cricket is the highest paid funded sport by the government, by the Australian government. I'm sure it is government funded, but they must also have some really good sponsors.
ASIC. Well, the fact that like on their international jerseys, they can have like four sponsors.
Yeah, well, this is the age old question about getting us more sponsors in our fucking jerseys. But cricket gets a lot of money from that. Also like
in KFC.
KFC loves sponsoring cricket.
And VB, Australia had like VB for like so long.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it was a go-to.
It looks so good on the jersey.
Go-to jersey. My brother and I are still looking for that jersey.
Yeah.
Because I got a VB hat. I need to like get the set. But
all the international test cricket stuff is good just because everything's so old.
Yeah, like it's tradition.
If the cross-country 2K really, if we'd been doing that for 100 years, it'd probably have like a bit more like...
Same with Grand Slam, huh?
I don't know.
Too soon, Morgan. Too soon. It'd have a bit more like stuff behind it. But
the thing is, like, yes, but also, well, in Europe, I guess, all the European cross country races are like, for example, the road race in Geneva, whose name we don't know.
I bet that's been going
for the same thing.
150 years.
Like, in their longer bubble, it's probably very historic. And that's probably why they probably pay really well.
I think they
did.
Didn't Dominic win that last year?
He has won that one. It's that crazy. It's the like,
epic finish video.
And Jimmy
looks
had like
he's running like so fast. I mean,
they did the exact same video of Jimmy that they got of Dominic like a year or two ago.
Dude, that's how you make our sport succeed, is just by getting viral.
100%. Kind of want to run that one, except it was 10K, I think.
Dude, can you imagine racing on cobbles?
Dude,
that seems hard.
That's where you get the super shoes in.
I don't know if super shoes help you on the cobbles.
Super cobble shoes.
Yeah, I don't know what shoes are made for that. I don't think any.
Probably not.
But digress. We don't really have that much time to cover any of the other stuff, so maybe we'll have to do a little...
We could shout out the Australian... What Australian girl just broke the marathon record?
Yeah, shout out to Jess Stenson, Australian legend. She's been crushing it.
Commonwealth Games champ.
She's just a freaking...
In the marathon?
Idol.
Mm-hmm.
The Aussies are always in full force at Valencia because they love to try and run fast.
Yeah. That was where the men's record got broken last year?
Yeah. Andy, last year.
2:06
Olympics. What was it?
2:06, wasn't it?
I think it was something like that. Yeah, I want to say. But, dude, the marathon is so funny because I think there's actually a bubble here in the US where if you're a good US marathoner, like, let's take Joe Klucker as an example, getting into it, it's so easy to get sucked into doing something along the lines of New York, Boston. Chicago
is really fast. So I guess that kind of like breaks.
Depends on the weather, though.
This rule, but it doesn't seem as fast as Valencia because I look at the Australian marathoners and they don't give a fuck. Like they're just like, we're going to Valencia. Like every year, they're like, we're going to Valencia. Like it's on the calendar because that's where you go to run fast. And then it happens every year. Like I'm always shocked. It's like you're always shocked, but you shouldn't be shocked because it happens every year, but you're still shocked at how fast people are able to run there. And people have bad races there. It's the marathon still. It's still this crazy beast. So it's not a freebie by any means.
It's the BU of marathons.
But then it is like, because then you see a result such as, well, I couldn't believe that John Carreer was running it because.
What did he do?
Didn't he win it on the men's side?
He did.
202.24. Isn't he like winning all the majors as well? I was like, why are you doing Valencia? Yes. Like that's pretty random.
He probably got paid maybe.
But I don't think
he's won Boston before.
I don't think you do get paid. Maybe he's changing, but I always thought they might have paid him. Have a big.
He's talked about how he thinks he can break the world record.
Maybe that's it. My understanding of Valencia is that you don't really get paid, but there's an $1 million bonus for breaking the world record.
I think there is.
So I think maybe, I guess that would be his incentive.
Contractual time bonuses, I bet.
True.
Or national record bonuses, which there were a lot of.
Yeah. So one of the craziest things, which I don't even know how to like make sense of this, was Alex Yee going and running 206.38, which is the second fastest British time ever, I believe.
Behind Mo Farah, yeah.
And he's fucked. We know how good he is at running. And then he ran the Valencia half and he ran around 61.30. And I think for a lot of us, we were like, wow, that's a really, really, really good half marathon time for a triathlete. And that makes sense. And even though that's pretty mind-blowing, and we knew that the conditions were not perfect for that race, but still, I think that was like understandable. Mm-hmm. But then him and going and crushing the marathon, which maybe this is us being silly, because maybe being a triathlete does, for some reason, translate well to the triathlon. Even though they only race 10K, their training is so, I don't know, actually.
Well, he's been training for that, like specifically for a while. Because he missed out some.
Well, he also did the London Marathon. So he's been.
What did he run at London?
Like quick.
2:11 or something.
But again, a time that is very,
very,
like,
very good for a triathlete. This is like.
But he was disappointed. I think it was really hot in London.
Yeah. I can't remember.
But I also thought it was like, oh, London. He's British. Like, makes sense. He's going to do this one off marathon.
They're probably paying him a lot of money.
Like, and then he said, no, fuck that. I'm going to go run really fucking fast.
He's training, must
actually.
So he's like probably going to leave triathlon behind and just become a fucking pro.
I don't think so, man. You make a lot of money in triathlon if you're a good
dude. Like, make a lot of money if you're a good fucking marathoner too. That's
Hayden Wild's got to run a marathon now.
Yeah, he got to step up and see. But that's just so fast. Did you guys see that his watch predicted? Which is so funny because I always thought as professional runners, like the watch predictions are so off. But his watch predicted, I think it predicted 205 something.
I think I did see that.
Which is like pretty.
Sorry, he posted
within the ballpark. I don't know how.
My watch predicted that I could run like a 2:45 marathon right now.
Well, it's probably right then.
So it must be right.
I think he does some crazy, like long runs and stuff. That must.
I believe it. Training for a marathon is such a. I don't know what the word is. It's such an enigma. It's such like a Pandora's box where it's like you just throw this shit in there and then something comes out.
Something will come out, but you don't
know
what
it is. I see him post like 30K at like 3-minute pace.
But you know how many marathoners post that?
I don't know. I don't follow very many, but
so many.
Sounds fast.
It is incredibly fast.
Yeah. That's like 206. I wonder what he is going to do now.
Yeah. I think he's just going to continue to.
Did Com Games cut the triathlon?
Don't know, actually.
That's a good question.
Did we keep the triathlon?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, they're cutting everything.
Like, so. They cut more than half the sports, I think.
They tried to cut the whole thing, and then they brought it back.
That's not true. Melbourne tried to cut the whole thing, and then Glasgow was like,
surely they
kept
the triathlon.
I would think so. But then again, I think a big part of them not having the marathon was it's really expensive, I think, to have anything on the roads. I think that was a big thing, is that it just costs a lot of money to close down the roads and do like the coverage on the roads and everything about that. So I imagine a triathlon is quite expensive to run. But
probably even more so, huh?
But then they knew that they had Alex Yee, so.
Yes, triathlon was cut from the 2026 Com Games in Glasgow.
There you go.
Sorry, Alex.
So maybe he'll be in the 10K instead, literally.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like maybe he's literally going to qualify for Com Games in a running event. At this point, he's going to double.
You're on a 206.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Imagine if he won comp. This 10K is kind of freaked, actually.
The 10K at Comm Games is quite competitive.
Yeah.
Or it has been. But yeah, so.
What a weekend.
What a weekend it was, and we didn't even cover half of it. So
we can get to it next time.
It's getting to that time where it's very overwhelming. I think just all the results that are coming in, and yeah, every year it still gets elevated more and more and more.
It does,
and that's our sport. So it's cool. It's very exciting, and hopefully it can continue to just happen. And yeah,
absolutely,
cooler and cooler. But yeah, this weekend, I don't know what else is going on, but I do know the Merry Mile is happening.
Nothing else is happening. No one, they've actually canceled football. Everyone's going to be on the Coffee Club YouTube channel Saturday morning. Tune in. World record.
Tune in and tune out.
Going down. All in yards, side by side.
It's going
to
be awesome.
We're going to get as close as we can to whatever we can do.
There's going to be some sick drone footage, I think. I think that's how they do it. The footage looked really cool.
I think so.
The last couple of years.
I'm feeling good.
Always feeling good, everyone. Put that on a t-shirt.
I'm feeling good.
It's feeling good.
I have faith in Ollie.
As you should.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Best of luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Look forward to catching up after it. But guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Coffee Club Pod. This has been The Boys, episode 210. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. See ya.